It's not like that. There's a reason for it, and we'll come to that in a minute. But great songs this morning to sing, weren't they? At the end of the week, at the end of the year. Great to focus on who it truly is all about. It is all about Him. And it's one of those weird sort of Sundays for you guys this week, because this isn't part of a sermon series. I get to seek the Lord, just for this one-off sermon and say, Lord, what is it you want me to be preaching on this morning? What can I share with the guys which is going to be helpful, which is going to be edifying, which is timely for them? And it's going to be, I hope, a passionate sermon. I hope it's going to be prophetic, and it's going to speak into individual lives at your point of need. So I'm going to make some observations as the pastor of the church. I'm going to confess some stuff as the pastor of the church. I'm going to hopefully point you to Jesus in the middle of it all. Before we get into the text, I want to say this. I really sense that as a church family right now, we are very tired. Not just Christmas tired. I mean, life year after year after year, tired, weary. We're a church which loves to do stuff for the Lord, to do mission, to do outreach, to connect with community. But we're tired. We are weary. And I want to speak into that this morning. A lot of our tiredness is because we are seeking to follow Jesus. But maybe some of our tiredness as well is because there is areas of our lives where we're not surrendering to Jesus. And I want to speak into that as well. I want to thank you guys for being a wonderful, faithful church. This year, thank you for being here at the end of the year. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragements. Thank you for being willing to do church here in a difficult part of Wales, for not choosing to go and do church where it's easy to go to big, super-duper mega churches, but for choosing to be faithful to this community, to this locality. Thank you for that. Thank you for your generosity in all kinds of ways. Thank you for your serving. Thank you for your giving. And thank you to all who bought me bags of coffee for Christmas. I'm very grateful for all that as well. I got so much coffee for Christmas, it's amazing. I'm so blessed. And the vast majority of it came from my flock, who see when I preach on a Sunday, I need caffeine. So God bless you. I want to speak to you from Matthew chapter 11, okay? It's a very, very famous passage in the scriptures, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to the end of the chapter. But the context of this passage is equally important if we're going to get our heads around why this is an important and I hope a timely message. Just before the text we come to, Jesus dished out some of his woes. He said, woe to you, various cities, because you've chosen to basically reject God's grace. You've chosen not to repent, and you've chosen to go it alone. You've chosen the path of religion and destruction above the path of repentance and faith. And he says, woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Capernaum. And so that's the kind of, that he's just done some of this stuff which people don't often like to talk about. Jesus, we like Jesus to be all sort of like, gentle and calm and not saying things like, woe to you. It was better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it's going to be for you. But he's just said that. Then we're going to have our chunk of text, and then we're going to see Jesus speaking about that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. So we go from woe to you for not repenting through this passage into Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, the one who gives true rest. And so we're going to come in verse 25 to what Jesus wants to speak following those strong words. And the famous bit, if you like, and the bit we're going to focus on comes towards the end. But I think it's really important to hear the full words of Christ before he gets to the bit at the end. And what Jesus says is this. It says, at this time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The context before we get to the come to me all who are weak and heavy laden is Jesus basically putting his cards on the table and saying, just in case you didn't get this, I am the Son of God, and all that I do and all that I say is with the authority of God himself. So what I'm about to speak, what I'm about to say, it carries weight and it carries authority. He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. He is making it very clear. He refers to his Father again and again, and that he is the Son again and again. He's leaving us in no doubt that he is the Son of God, and what he says stands. He's laid his credentials on the table, and maybe as we launch into this sermon this morning, maybe we need to be reminded of that again, thrilled by that again, that who we've just celebrated at Christmas time is the arrival, not of just a good teacher, not of just a great example, a great model of good living, but it is the Son of God. It is the one promised from long ago, the Savior of the world. He speaks with the very voice and the very authority of God. He shows us what God is like. We look at him and we see God. That is who is speaking, and that is who is speaking these words this morning, guys. And my prayer, and I'm going to pray right now, is that the words that we're going to focus on and focus our attention on are going to go deep into your souls and do good work at the end of this year. So Lord, I want to pray right now that you would send the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to come right now and to take these words and to make them alive to us and alive in us. We want to come, Lord, confessing our weakness, and want to come confessing our sin and our great dependency on you. We need you, Lord. Individually, we need you. As a church family, we need you. Lord, our nation needs you. So come, I pray, by your Spirit. May this be a significant period of time now where you come and do business with us in the very deepest and the very darkest parts of our hearts, the depths of our hearts, the nooks and crannies, Lord. May we encounter you right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're going to see a call and a promise explored from two different perspectives. We're going to see a call and a promise. And the big point that I wanted to get is this. Before we step into another year of just rolling up our sleeves and serving again. So many of you do, you do stuff, whether it's specific ministries here in the church, or it's other, ministries throughout the week, or whether it's just in the workplace, you are constantly on mission. You are a witness and a testimony, not just on a Sunday, but for the rest of the week. Before we just launch into another year and go with missional intent, I want to remind you guys of something which just completely floored me. In a good way. It humbled me this week as I was preparing this sermon. And this is what hit me. That Jesus calls us to come before he commands us to go. Jesus calls us to come before he commands us to go. We love the Great Commission in this church. Most of us could quote it. Go therefore into make disciples of all nations. We know the go. We know there's a missional thrust to Christian living. But here in Matthew 11, 17 whole chapters before the Great Commission, Jesus comes and he doesn't tell us to go, he tells us to come. Jesus came that we might come, not just that we might go. And the invitation is to all. Let's see what it says. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And that's two different words there, labor and heavy laden. The NIV translates those two words, weary and burdened. The New Living Translation translates them as weary and carrying heavy burdens. New American Standard, weary and heavy laden. The Bereans, they translate it as toiling and heavy laden. Toiling and being burdened. Rather, I want to look at those two words. Like now, the first word to be weary or to labor. There's nothing inherently sinful about being tired. In fact, that very same word which is translated to labor or weary, is used to describe Jesus. He himself was weary. He himself got tired. Life is just exhausting. And at the end of Christmas, can we all say amen? Like, there's nothing wrong with being tired. We are dust. We are flesh. We are not superhuman. I intend to utilize my multiple packs of coffee to their absolute maximum, but it's not going to guarantee me a lack of tiredness. There's something about being human, which just means that life is exhausting. And that's okay. Jesus got tired. Jesus slept. Jesus was exhausted. And we are exhausted. And at the end of this year, I wonder, are you exhausted? And as I say, not just Christmas exhausted, but just deeply exhausted, just shattered. It's been a hard year. Maybe like the Queen said all those years ago, maybe this has been an annus horribilis. That doesn't mean a horrible bottom. That's different. It means a horrible year. Maybe 2015 has just been the worst, just the pits. And it's just been awful. And you are, at the end of this year, weary. You know, it's okay to confess that to the Lord. Lord, I'm knackered. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I haven't got the energy. Maybe you're burdened. Maybe you're burdened, which goes beyond, I think, being tired, being weary. Jesus is never described as being burdened. I've been burdened this year. So I got my backpack on. I want to show you. Because here's the thing, guys, right? It'd be very easy to be the superhero at the front of the church and say, if you just lived like I lived and did what I did, knew the Bible as well as I do, you'd be all sorted. But the truth is, I have really, really struggled this year. Really struggled. And I'm saying this because I know I'm not the only one. And I want to say this as well. This is not me wanting a pity party. I don't want people coming up to me afterwards and saying, oh, poor old Di, we never knew, you should have said. Maybe I should have said. I've told the right people, I believe. I haven't borne it all on my own. I've shared it with Michelle, my wife. I've shared it with my pastors in Highfields. I've shared it with Jeff. I've shared it with people. But I'm going to share with you now. I'm going to show you what my year has been like. Because I'm preaching this sermon today to a church which I think is burdened. And to people who are tired and weary and are carrying burdens. And I believe, by God's grace, I come to the end of this year and the Lord has taught me something of his grace, which I needed to learn. I want to share it with you. Maybe you haven't all come in with a backpack like this, but maybe there is a load on your back. Maybe there is stuff which you're carrying right now. So in my pack, what's this one? It's no expenses spared. It's very much at the end of Christmas. Tesco's Troubled Dreams. I'm historically a very gifted sleeper. Like, I'm really good at sleeping. I can sleep through anything. I've slept through hurricanes. I've slept through riots in the street. I've slept through the police helicopter overhead. I've slept through Michelle going into labor. I mean, I've slept through most things. And I thank the Lord for that. And this is, I'm just confessing some stuff to you guys because I hope it'll help you. When I used to hear Christians say to me, I'm not sleeping very well, I would rebuke them with a scripture that says the Lord gives to his beloved sleep. That's so insensitive. Because this year, I've had a lot of sleeps where it's been troubled. And I'll tell you what sort of trouble it's been. Like, so I've shared with you guys the call that me and Michelle believe we have on our lives to go and minister in inner city Cardiff. There's this one night about 2 months ago, I woke up with a nightmare. And this isn't the only time this has happened, trust me, but I woke up really troubled having a dream that a human trafficker, had killed me and was going and told me he was going to get my wife and my children next. And I woke up in an absolute flap, only to find out that Anastasia had just been given a nightmare of an evil man chasing her and the family through the house. Like, you can make what you want of that, but I've had a lot of that this year. I haven't slept well a lot. And I feel, and there's been spiritual reasons for that maybe, but I haven't been sleeping well. I haven't been able to rest like I normally do. And that's not just sort of like because of these sort of what you might call prophetic spiritual dreams. I've just been troubled in my mind. I've gone to bed worried about stuff and not able to leave it at the altar like I used to be able to. But I committed to the Lord in prayer, go to sleep, and it was still there. And I found that exhausting. Pressure. Like, let me just be really honest with you. Like, I find being a pastor really hard. I find caring for people really hard. I never thought I was going to be that guy. I want it to be somebody that just went off and did, you know, told people about Jesus and then left the pastoral care to someone else. But I love you guys. And sometimes that's really traumatic because sometimes you guys go through some really heavy stuff. And I don't think I'm helping you as well as I could or I should. And I second guess myself all the time. Did I give the right counsel? Have I made the right decision? You know, remember Paul, he lists all that stuff in the Bible. You know, I've been beaten, shipwrecked, blah, blah, blah. And on top of all that is my burden for the churches. I've only got one to jolly care about. Like, and I find that really hard. That on top of all the other stuff, I care for you guys. I genuinely do love this church. And that brings pressure. And again, I try and bring it to the Lord, but this year I found it's been hard. So that's been a burden for me this year. What else have we got? Depression. I haven't been medically diagnosed depressed this year because I haven't been to the doctor. God knows my heart. And God knows my life. And I don't believe I am clinically depressed, but there's been the vast majority of this year, and no one knows this apart from the Lord, because it normally happens just when it's just me and him, but I'm walking around with tears just falling out of my face. And I don't even know why half the time. Just crying. And not sobbing, but just like, just literally, there's wetness coming out of my face, and I could talk like I am now, but just... And Michelle said to me, because she's been obviously concerned about me recently, and I was like, she's like, why are you crying? I was like, I don't really know. But all I can say is it feels like this sadness has to come out somehow. And that's what's happening. And I've been going to the scriptures and Psalm 42, 43, and why are you cast down, O my soul, and all that. And you know, but it's been, this year, for the first year of my life, I haven't been as happy and joyful and pucker as I have been for the last 38 years. And I don't know why. But I found this year really, really hard and really depressing at times. Oh, sorry, it will get better in a minute, by the way, but do you know what I mean? I just want to confess to you at the end of this year, this is the journey that the Lord has taken me on. And if at the end of the sermon you think, actually, you're too messed up to be our pastor, we want to go to another church, that's, you know what, that's fine. But let me tell you why I'm doing this. In all seriousness, is I keep reading books of pastors who fell because they didn't tell people stuff like this. They had to present this mask, this I am a superhuman, and I'm not. Before I'm a pastor, I'm a human being. And before I'm a pastor, I'm a disciple. And before I'm a pastor, I am a father and a husband. And that brings pressure, doesn't it? Pain, physical and emotional. Like, I got chronic arthritis, and I'm realizing more and more that living in chronic pain can affect you. I find life generally exhausting just because I want to put my feet up. Like, and I'm 39. It's proper bad, isn't it? But I'm so, like, my ankles are dropping off. I walked 6 miles doing Christmas shopping last week. My goodness, how I even stood up before you on Christmas morning, I got no idea. You know, so there's physical pain that I'm genuinely constantly grappling with, but there's emotional pain as well. I've had to grapple with a lot of stresses and strains and struggles emotionally that I've never had to before. I saved the biggest box for this one. Sin. McVitie's sin. Because I haven't done anything to disqualify me as your pastor, but there is a daily struggle in my life to, you know, I struggle with sin. I struggle with my responses sometimes. I haven't done everything perfectly as I would like. I find that, you know, I'm, again, and it's all tied up, I think, but I'm, you know, sometimes I'll be too short with the kids, or I won't give Michelle the care that she deserves, or I'll say something when I'm feeling stressed out, which is just really, like, you know, just not coming from a place of trust or a place of faith, but from a place of despair. And there's a lot in that tin. Confusion. Just genuinely, like, I've just found sometimes this year, like, God, I don't know what's going on. Like, I, you know, not necessarily all to do with ministry, just generally stuff. Like, you know, why are things playing out the way they played out? And I can find myself just doing my own editing. Any of you do that? You do your own editing. It's like, what's going on? I don't know what's going on up here, let alone, you know. And this one's a bit of a ninja as well. I wasn't expecting this one this year. grief. 6 years after my mom died, I think because I've been going through a bunch of other stuff, my instinct is like, oh, I wish I could talk to mom about that. She'd give me good advice. And it suddenly struck me, I haven't got a mom anymore. And there's been real genuine grief, which I've had to contend with as well. Now, I don't know what's in your bag. I couldn't think of anything else, but I also couldn't fit anything else in. It was quite full. But that's been me this year. And I'm just going to put them up so you can see them, because I think... this isn't just about me. This isn't Di having a kind of, like, you know, an Oprah moment. So, or Jerry Springer, probably, more in my life. It's not like that. It's just me wanting to be honest with you so that when I speak what I'm going to share from scriptures now, you know it's not coming from a hypocrite or somebody that can't relate or that somebody that's just sort of saying, look, just do this and it's going to be fine. Like, this is something which I have been and am wrestling through and grappling with. And I'm sharing this scripture this morning because this is a scripture that the Lord has given me as a key to handle that stuff, as a key to move forward with that stuff. And as I said, I haven't done that for a pity party, okay? I don't want, like, you know, by all means, come and, like, give me a sideways hug or whatever afterwards, but, like, you know, I'm not doing this to try and draw attention to myself. I'm doing this as a means of trying to draw alongside you so that then as we look at these scriptures, it will help. So my question to you is, what burdens are you bearing as this year closes out? Sickness, family, debt, loneliness, waves of anxiety, adverse circumstances, crushing guilt, deep-rooted bitterness, explosive anger, savage addiction, crippling fear, disappointment, unsettling confusion. I believe that all those are things that we have to learn to bring to Jesus. We're going to sing a hymn at the end, which helps us to do that, to cry out to him in prayer. But before we get there, and this is kind of the kicker, really, with this whole thing, I don't think ultimately this passage is all about that. It is about that, but it's not only about that. Because do you know what? Half of that stuff isn't stuff I need to repent of. The sin, yes. But some of it is just stuff which has just battered me. What we need to repent of is trying to carry it on our own. To try and carry it without Jesus. So my question, another question, who or what have you been turning to help you with your stuff this year? Have you been turning to people before Jesus, to a husband or a wife or a close friend, to a pastor? Have you been turning to self-medication, either legal prescription or illegal prescription? There's nothing wrong with taking legal prescriptions for some of these things. I'm not dissing that. Don't take that as what I'm saying here. But if you're trying to find your peace from in the bottom of a bottle, or expecting that the drugs that we do take are going to get rid of this stuff rather than bringing it to Jesus. If your peace is more in your tablets than they are in the Messiah, and you stop going taking them to Jesus because you think that your self-medication is going to help, is it working for you? This year, as we close the year out, have the burdens grown greater or have the burdens grown heavier? Because for me, the bag got heavier this year. It didn't get lighter. And I've been trying to bring things to Jesus, so I'm not saying this is easy, trust me. But like, it got heavier this year. In your life right now, is there a lack of joy or a lack of peace or a lack of hope or a lack of grace for other people? Because if there is, then like me, maybe you need to hear this message. See, we can focus on come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, who are burdened, who are tired, who are exhausted. But we miss the third word. Come to me. Come to me. Don't focus only on your burdens and only on your cares and only on your woes. Focus on the one who invites you, commands you even, calls you to come to him. Because the promise is this: come to me and I will give you rest. Anapao, or however you say it in Greek. I always try and do Greek on you, don't I? It never works. But it means rest and refreshing. Jesus says, if you come to me, despite all your stuff, see, what we try and do is we have all this stuff, and this is what we do. We got our bag full of stuff, and we're saying, Jesus, I got all this stuff in my life, and it's really hard, and it's really burdensome, so what I'll do, I want to come to you, but I'll try and get rid of the stuff first. I'll try and deal with some of my sin. I'll stop doing that sin I was doing, and then I'll try and come to you. Or I'll try and I'll take some sleeping tablets so I don't get more troubled dreams, and then maybe I'll come to you. Or I'll just sort of like tell myself to get over it with the grief I've been feeling, and then I can come to you. And Jesus says, bring the bag. Bring the bag, bring a yerman. I've come to help you with this. And I honestly believe that the source of so much of our stress is that we're trying to save ourselves rather than letting Jesus save us. We're trying to handle it. We're trying to be strong. We're trying to be better than everyone else. We're trying to self-justify. We're trying to prove our worth. We're trying to show our mettle. We're trying to dig in. And sometimes you've got to just stop trying to dig in and collapse at the feet of the one who can get you through this. The promise is for rest. Do you need that rest? Let me be clear, this isn't a promise that your adverse circumstances are going to change. This isn't a promise that all the things that you've been battling with, as soon as you come to Jesus, will be gone. This isn't one of those, I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. Do you see a white suit? That's not me. I'm not here saying, if you have enough faith, your problems will go. But what I believe the Lord has been doing in me this year is he's been showing me, Di, whether you've been honest about that with yourself or whether you've even been aware of it or not, you've been trying to do this in your own strength for your own glory. You've been trying to be the one who is all together. You've been the one that's trying to be the great example to other people. You've been the one that's running things. And day by day, week by week, month by month, I've had to realize, you know what? I actually have nothing to offer you guys apart from Christ. I have nothing to offer my family apart from Christ. And it truly is, the gospel truly is for the weak. And it truly is for the sinful and the broken. He didn't say, come to me, all who are sorted, and I'll give you kudos. Come to me, all you who are together, and I'll give you prestige. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But it's a soul rest. It's a rest from striving. It's a rest from needing to prove ourselves to other people, to try and impress other people, to try and make a name for ourselves, to try and deal with our own sin. It's rest from religion, and it's the doorway to grace. And this morning, I wonder, are some of us carrying not just the cares of the world on our shoulders, but are we carrying the crime of trying to carry it without Jesus? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then he says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's interesting. Like, as I said, we're going to look at a call and promise from two different perspectives. First of all, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, they're different. This isn't just passive. This isn't just a case of, I'll just confess my weakness and then Jesus can zap me. No, I need to come to him, but when I come to him, I need to actually do something. I need to take his yoke upon me. I need to learn from him. This is something where I have to come weak, I have to come broken, I have to come sinful and say, Lord, this is me, this is who I am, this is all I have. But when I come to him, he doesn't have a magic wand to go, bam, there you are, you're sorted. No, now I need to leave my bags with him, but I need to take something on myself. And that is his yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Now, the word yoke isn't to do with eggs. If you're thinking, what's eggs got to do with all this? It's not the yolk in an egg. This is a yoke that bound oxen together to tread grain. So they would plow a field as a unit, as a team. And Jesus isn't saying, I got some heavy burden to stick on your neck to carry on your own. He's saying, come under my yoke. I will take the strain. I will bear the load. You come with me. You walk with me. You do this life alongside me, and you will live with a blessing under the it is finished of Jesus Christ. See, whether it's sin, actual sins that we're burdened by, or just the sin of trying to do it without him, we need our sin to be taken away. And when Jesus hung on that cross and he cried out, it is finished, he meant it. He paid for it all. He dealt with it all. And if we come to Jesus, we live in the it is finished of him. So I no longer have to try and forgive myself because Jesus forgave me. I no longer have to prove myself because he has proved me. I no longer have to be outstanding or amazing for anyone else because he is amazing. He is my righteousness. My righteousness, even the best of his filthy rags before him, but his righteousness is beautiful and it is free. And if I'm with him and in him and he is in me, it is mine. And so I stand before you as a guy this morning, guys, who has been burdened and broken and battered and bruised, but who is forgiven and who is righteous and who is a child of God, as accepted today as I was the day I put my faith in him 23 years ago. I am still his and he is still mine. That's his yoke. See, it says that his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. The word easy is an amazing word. It means fit for purpose. It's purpose built. It means mild and pleasant. It's only used one other time in scriptures. And you know, there's that scripture which says that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. The word kindness is the same word as it is easy here. His yoke to us is kind, it is gentle, it is loving, it is gracious. And it's his kindness that brings us to repentance. And his burden is light. His burden is light. It means literally light in weight. It's not heavy. Doesn't drag you down. When we try and carry our cares and our burdens, like, it does your back in, doesn't it? Monday, just gone, I was taking the dog out in a hurricane on the field by my house, and I was just trying to battle against the wind, and I put my back out. And it was like, it was the worst thing. I've been in spasms most of the week. Sorry, now I'm not walking around like this. But like, I couldn't take any extra weight on my back. Well, Jesus this morning isn't saying, I've got more weight and more burdens. They're just different ones. I'll take your sin, but I'll give you religion. I'll take your struggles, and I'll give you like different struggles. No, his yoke and his burden are easy and light. But we do read about another yoke, don't we, in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul is speaking to those who have found the gospel, but have started to look over their shoulder at religion again. What is religion? Religion is trying to fix it ourselves, to carry it ourselves, to bear it ourselves. An amazing little story yesterday morning. So, like, we bought some great presents for our kids for Christmas. At least I think, the kids seem to enjoy them anyway. But Anastasia, I don't know if this was a good idea. We bought her a pop-up pink castle. Like, and it takes up half of the girl's bedroom. So Ellen's fuming because, like, she hates pink. And, like, now half of her bedroom is pink. And Anna's got this little kingdom inside her tent. And she's got all her toys and all her pens and pencils and, like, colouring stuff. But she started to call her brothers and sisters and even me and her mum as her servants because she believes that she is the queen of the castle. And one of her relatives bought her a chuffing tiara yesterday. That hasn't helped. True story. But yesterday at the breakfast table was just this amazing moment that I think has given me a great sermon illustration this morning. Kids are the best sermon illustration generators on planet Earth. And so the other kids kept saying, "Dad, like Anna keeps making us her servants and calling us slaves, and you know we don't want to be like that." And Ezra was like, "Yeah." And I went in there and I hadn't even finished my picture, and she kicked me out again, and I had to go. And Anastasia says this. She says, "It's my castle. I make the rules." Literally, in that tone of voice as well. "It's my castle, and I make the rules." We got some work to do with her, pray for her. But guys, that's how we live with the Lord. It's my life, I'll make the rules. And religion is us saying to God, "Thanks for the grace, but it's my life, I'll make the rules. If I want to self-justify, I'll self-justify. If I want to do things in my strength, I'll do things in my strength." And in Galatians, they start looking at, of all things, circumcision. Remember Jim's sermon like the other week? Why would you even look over your shoulder and start, like, you know, expect, look, I mean, praise God, that's over and done with. But they were looking over their shoulder going, no, we want to go back to religion. There's something about rules that draws us, something about right and wrong, which just appeals to our human spirit. And Paul, in Galatians 5, says this, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Do you see that? We're all going to wear a yoke today. We're either going to wear the yoke of slavery to religion, of trying to do things, it's my life, my rules, my castle, I'll do it how I want, I'll be the one that sets the standard, I'll be the one that sets the standard for other people as well, which is slavery to sin and slavery to religion. Or we take Jesus at his word and he says, "Come and take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I take sin away from you. I become your standard. I become your righteousness. You have nothing left to prove to a watching world if you're in me and I am in you." And I think that's one of the challenges I've had to come to this week as I prepped this sermon. Sermons suck, by the way, if the preacher hasn't had to do the work in their own hearts before they come to a Sunday morning. It's been a really hard week, even with Christmas and Boxing Day in the middle of it all, as I've been wrestling with this question, am I trying to do this alone? Is that why I have been burdened? So take the yoke. The moment, listen to this, there are two things in this part of the sermon you need to see. There is the yoke and there is learning. One is mercy in that moment. And the second is the gift of grace to grow. The moment you say, "I'm done with the yoke of trying to prove myself, I'm done with the yoke of trying to save myself, of trying to justify myself, Jesus, I want to take that to the cross. Can I take your yoke upon me afresh? I want to walk with you through this life. I want to tread the field under your 'it is finished.' I want to sow and I want to serve from a place of security and from a place of grace, not from a place of undue and unnecessary strain that is crippling me." And the moment you choose that yoke, there is mercy. You feel the weight lift when you confess that and give it to him. But he also says, "Learn from me." And that sounds like something which you need to do over time. Like, becoming a Christian isn't you get the Bible and then you're on your own to go and figure it out. No, to learn, you need to walk with Jesus day by day, week by week, year by year, for the rest of your life. We need to be committed to grow. This is a call to discipleship. It shouldn't surprise us if we don't spend time. And these are the two areas of growth I want to encourage you guys in. I don't know where you're at with it. Maybe you're proper sorted, in which case, hallelujah. If there's room for growth, then take it on the chin and say, "Lord, this morning I want to commit myself to this, to learning from you." The way I see it, there's two ways that we learn from Jesus. One is through his word. Matthew 7, the foolish man, the one who built his house on the sand, is a dude that didn't take Jesus' word seriously, but lived under his own wisdom and his own ideas. The wise man is the man that built his house on the rock, and he's the one that takes Jesus' word and does them. Guys, are you committed to the Bible? Two dangers for a church like this. Let me tell you the two dangers. Number one, some of you have been a Christian for quite a long time. You think you know enough. Join my club. We got enough grace to sort of keep us going. We know a lot. We can have a good gospel chat with the best of them. Whereas, like, actually, Lord, there's more to learn. This is a treasure chest. Feed me today. Speak to me today. I want to find you in the word today. And the other danger is for people, again, perhaps some of you guys are more from my theological side of the stable, the reformed Christian world, and we think we know it all. And that's dangerous too. We need to be teachable, trainable. Maybe one of the things that you need to do when you confess your, and you drop your bags off this morning, whatever bags you may have, and say, Jesus, I want to come under your yoke again. I want to walk alongside you. You need to say, Lord, I want to be open to learning. I haven't been committed to your voice like I used to be. I want to grow in the knowledge. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And maybe you just need to, maybe you haven't got your quiet time plan sorted for next year. Well, you got a few days to sort that out. Maybe you want to find a Christian friend or, you know, someone or people in your GC you can study the Bible with and go deeper with and, you know, chew things over with. Maybe that's not in place right now. Well, help. Let me know. We can try and put that, fix that. We need to be growing together in grace. And the other area where we need to grow isn't just in God's word, but it's with God's people. See, we learn so much from about Jesus from his people. Remember Paul said, "I follow me as I follow Christ." If we're not in God's word and walking with God's people, we're not going to grow. And maybe there's room for more fellowship, for more discipleship, for more life-on-life Christianity in our lives. And the Lord is saying, don't forsake meaningful, deep getting together with God's people for encouragement and for growth. Sundays are great. This is great. I hope you're enjoying this morning. But, like, you need more than this. Day by day, week by week, we need to be committed to learning, walking with Jesus, in his word, with his people. That's how we grow. In the middle of it all, we get a wonderful description of Jesus, don't we? I didn't miss that. I left it till the end. Because remember, the call is come to me. Don't just go for me, but come to me. And in the midst of it, I don't know what you would expect if you've had a life of sin, or a life of bearing burdens that you refuse to let Jesus take from you, but to carry in your own heart and in your own life. What sort of God are you expecting to encounter when you come to him this morning and say, God, I've got all this stuff. This is the stuff which has been accumulating in my heart and in my soul this year. Like, this is my offering this morning. What Jesus are you expecting to encounter when you come to him? Well, we see here, in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, the word gentle is the only time that word is used in the whole of scriptures, and it does mean meek and mild. That's what it means. He's a strong savior, guys, but he is gentle. His heart this morning isn't to crush any of us. The heart of Jesus is to crush our sin, but to redeem us. He doesn't want your sin to crush you. He doesn't want to crush you. He wants to take your sin from you, that he might show you that he is gentle and that he is lowly in heart, that he is humble, that he comes alongside. You see those photographs of rugby players or boxers with their newborn babies, and you see them in their hands, you just think, like, just one crush, like, going to die because this such tenderness and such love there. That is our Father. He is a good, kind, loving, that's our Savior. He's a good, kind, loving Savior. He is a gentle Savior. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, and he is gentle and lowly in heart. And I love that the initial promise was, I will give you rest. And at the end here, it's like, you will find rest. There's a coming together in this. You step to him, and he steps to us, that we might step to him, that we might find in him true rest for our souls. But guys, this is about salvation. This isn't just about coping with life's niggles and life's problems. This is about finding a savior, one who forgives, one who loves, one who nurtures, one who is committed to walking with us through the rest of our lives with an easy yoke and light burden. And it's a trade this morning. As we step in, by God's grace, if we get to 2016, as we step into a new year, are we going to choose to carry these burdens in our own strength any longer and say, Lord, I can do it. I can handle it. I'm strong. I'm strong enough. I'm able. I'm good enough. Or are we going to come afresh to the feet of Jesus, the pierced feet of Jesus, and say, carry it anymore. Will you walk with me, Jesus? Will you take my burdens from me? I want to learn from you. I want to grow in grace. I don't want to be religious anymore. I don't want to be the king of the castle anymore. I want you to be the king of my castle. Your ways are better than my ways, are higher than my ways. Your way of doing things makes so much more sense. This morning, if you don't even know Jesus as your Savior, you get this incredible offer this morning that you can bring all of your sin, a lifetime of living with no care or regard for God and living in your way and not his way. And you can say, this is my life. And he will say, take it. I was crucified for that. I was punished for that, that you don't need to be crushed by that anymore. Give me that, and I will give you my righteousness. I will give you my grace. And if there's anyone here this morning who has never actually known being set free from your sin, that is the greatest gift I could offer you this morning. And speak to me and pray with me afterwards. I'd love to do that with you if that's you. But if, like me, guys, you are a Christian, you are a follower of Jesus, you do love him, but you have been creaking and groaning under a burden that was never yours to bear, then my encouragement to you is come to him again this morning and give it to him afresh and say, Jesus, save me. Some really sweet words for weary saints by a guy called Ray Ortland. The sacred center of Christianity is Christ himself, coming personally to the person, coming directly to the mediator. No one but Jesus can call us with such authority, and no one but Jesus can encourage us with such a promise. No one else can give us rest. If our primary purpose in church is to connect with one another, that's what we'll get, one another, and we'll end up angry. Only Jesus gives us rest. If we will put him first and come to him first, then we'll have something to give one another. If our primary purpose in church is outreach and mercy and justice, we'll end up exhausted. Only Jesus gives us rest. If we will put him first and come to him first, we'll be renewed for endless mission. There are many false and disappointing centers as there are impulses in our hearts. Everything else will let us down. Everything. Only one has ever said and can ever say, come to me and I will give you rest. His offer stands. And we don't have to deserve it. He gives it. But he does come first. Will you put Jesus first above all of your cares, all of your sorrows this morning? I got a prayer, which again is a prayer by a guy called Scotty Smith. I think it's a really appropriate prayer to pray on our behalf as we come to sing our final song. So if the guys want to get ready, and we'll just pray this together. Let's just bow our heads. Most gracious Jesus, I'm lacing up my running shoes this morning to come to you as fast as I can. Your gentle, lowly heart is simply irresistible to me. Your easy yoke and light burden are flashing with neon brilliance, and I will gladly shoulder up. Your promise of rest for my soul has never been more appealing, timely, or needed, for I am unrested and restless as I begin my day. I praise you for being so welcoming, so understanding, so kind. Jesus, the burden and confusion I'm feeling are clearly connected to old wounds with lingering pain. Sometimes fresh hurts become like a magnifying glass or a megaphone by which you remind us of unfinished business in our souls, like a broken bone that wasn't set properly. Broken hearts that weren't healed the first time are susceptible to intensified pain when hurt again in the same place. The warning is clear. Handle these situations with care. So here's what I need, Jesus. First and foremost, I need you. Flood my heart with your presence. Kiss my soul with the assurance that you are more than enough. Confirm the promise that we can, that I can do all things through you as you give us and give me strength. Remind me moment by moment today that you will not leave us or forsake us, that your name is Redeemer, that you will give sufficient grace for our great insufficiency. Be the great warrior of our hearts as you rebuke the devil on our behalf. Don't let the dark one seize this current situation for the spewing of his destructive toxins, for the doing of his dastardly deeds. I don't have 1,000 tongues to praise you, but let my one tongue speak with the wisdom of the gospel rather than wag with the poison of gossip. As the day unfolds, help me separate the issues. I need wisdom to deal with the matters at hand, with the pressing concerns right before me. I cannot afford to drag the stockpile of old pain into this one day. If I do that, I'll get defensive and will be on the offensive. As usual, this isn't about me, but about your glory. Jesus, help us walk today as men and women of faith, hope, and love with the people we greatly care about. Give us the wisdom and power you promise. Bring much glory to yourself. Write stories of repentance and restoration by the grace and truth of the gospel. So very amen, I pray in your most worthy and gracious name. Amen.